Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers.
That was a pretty... Hello! Robust, wouldn't you say? Robust?
More than robust.
Alert?
Awake.
Anyway, we're broadcasting this week from the Vacation Planning Center here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, we want you to know that there's still plenty of space available for all sessions of Mechanics Fantasy Camp here at Car Talk Plaza.
I like this
idea.
Well,
it's just like those baseball fantasy camps where you pay about $4,000 to get tips on how to hit, catch, throw, and scratch from some retired Hall of Famer who's really in deep to the IRS.
Sure, we can get old Krusty to run the fantasy camp. Is
you
he running it now? Is he in charge?
Well, not yet. No, we haven't revived
it. Brilliant idea.
Well, at fantasy camp, Mechanics Fantasy Camp, my brother and I and Krusty will teach you how to hit, catch, throw, and scratch, mechanics style.
Yeah, like hit your knuckles as you're taking off nuts and bolts.
Yeah, that's one thing.
That's one.
Catch hell from my rate customers. Throw your tools in disgust.
Yeah. And scratching needs no further discussion.
No, in fact, we could teach the ball players to talk about that. Anyway, if you'd like to sign up, just give us a call. You know the number.
Send $1,000
down payment. Right.
For the deposit to hold your spot because there are many spots to be held.
Oh, yeah. There are plenty of spots. Don't worry.
And you can come to the camp. Where is the camp going to be? Right at the garage?
Oh, no. We found a bucolic setting for it.
A bucolic setting. Yeah, I suppose you should. Fenway Park?
Unnamed. To be named in the future.
I like it.
Yeah, as yet, undetermined bucolic setting, but it will be something special. You can rest assured. Anyway, if you'd like to call us, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Sissy in Washington, D.C.
What's on your mind, Sissy?
Well, I have two questions, actually. The first is sort of a technical one. When parking the car, my husband has said to always straighten out the wheels, that if you leave a car parked and the wheels aren't lined up, straight with the chassis of the automobile, that the wheels will go out of alignment more quickly.
Oof.
I've never heard of that before.
Ooh, I like it, though, don't you?
I do. I like it. This may qualify
for the great book, unyielding truth.
For the book on old wives' tales.
Okay, well, that's one.
All right.
Well, give us the other one. We'll see which one we can manage to attack first here.
All right. The second one is we have an 86 Volkswagen Jetta, and a couple of days ago when I was driving it, the wheel locked when I was trying to make a right turn.
Steering wheel?
Steering wheel absolutely locked.
Whoa.
And I was able to back up the car, and then the car would turn fine. I went into our drive, and it locked again, and so I was parking. So I took the car to the auto repair place. They had it all day, couldn't find a thing wrong with it, drove it all over town. I brought it home, and the wheel locked again.
They couldn't get it to happen?
They couldn't get it to happen. It happened in reverse this time, and because I was in our parking area, I was able to get out and see that the wheels had locked absolutely straight, facing forward.
And you could not turn the steering wheel at all?
I couldn't turn it to the right. I could turn it back to the left. It only is to the right.
Oh.
This has happened.
Oh. And is that the same thing that happened before? You can only turn it to the left and not to the right?
Yes, that's exactly right.
So all times that it has locked, this is what it's done?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. That's not really locking.
My guess is something is interfering with the movement of the rack and pinion.
Exactly. That's exactly what I think it is. And that never in the history of this radio show have my brother and I agreed.
Well, let's not... We're in agreement about that.
Rack and pinion.
Well, yeah. I mean, it could well be that you have the rack and pinion might be loose. You might have a broken tooth. You might need a calf.
No, you might
need a root canal.
Yeah, no. You could easily have something broken inside the rack.
Exactly.
You could have something that's interfering with the motion of the steering column, because the steering column connects to your wheel at one end, and it connects to the rack and pinion at the other end. There could be something that's binding it up.
Let me just tell you, Sissy, I would not drive this car if I were you.
No, take it back to them and leave it with
even take it. Have it towed there.
Really?
Well, make sure if you do take it, you take all lefts.
Take all lefts. No, I mean, you never know when that semi is going to be approaching you from the left, and you're going to want to swerve to the right, and this silly thing won't go. If I were to look at something, I would look at the rack.
All right.
When it locks, does it absolutely lock like it does when you have the key out of the ignition? You know how that feels?
That's exactly what it did.
Yeah.
Yes. It wouldn't go. It just absolutely wouldn't turn.
I'm disappointed in these guys that they allowed you to take the car back after you told them what had happened. I mean, they shouldn't have allowed you to drive this car, even though they couldn't find it. The fact that you said it happened, they evidently didn't believe
you. That was sufficient justification for them to take the whole thing apart until they found out the problem.
Absolutely. I mean, I would worry about them.
Well, I won't take it back there.
Well, take it someplace else. Take it to another Volkswagen dealership, but make sure you impress upon them the fact that you will not pick up the car unless they are certain and they can reassure you that they have solved the problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
You'll never... In fact, I wouldn't even bother. Trade it in.
Sell it.
Time for a new car.
Yeah, you'll never be able to drive this car without being completely... You'll never be able to be completely satisfied that they fixed it.
Unless they, in fact, tell you, we found exactly what the Bimbo brothers said they would find. We found a broken tooth on the rack, and it was interfering with the motion, and they show you the broken piece. Then I think you can fairly well drive it and be safe.
Yeah, right. Maybe.
Now, as to your husband's issue.
Yes.
He's nuts. And we agree on that, too.
That's 100%.
I was ready to go to San Francisco and open a wheel alignment shop.
Right. They're all turned to the curb.
Right.
It is interesting how many old wives' tales there are. And it would be, I guess, my next PhD, I guess I will study the origins of old wives' tales. I mean, I wonder who could have told this to your husband. And what's wonderful about old wives' tales, and by the way,
they have a grain of believability.
Always. There's always something in them that says, sounds good. It could be right. But this one, he's nuts.
Yeah.
All right.
See you, sissy.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
And don't drive it there. Tow it.
We will.
Bye-bye.
All right. Goodbye.
Thanks. Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hi. This is Charlie from San Francisco.
Hi, Charlie. What's going on, man?
Well, I'm a service advisor in a car dealership, and we're getting a lot of complaints about brakes not lasting as long as they used to. And I don't know.
What story are we going to decide on, Charlie? I mean, what we've been doing is we've been slicing them in half before we install them. And if you do that, they come back after 7,000-8,000 miles, they're going to have pads again. Do you guys want to buy our slicer?
Wow, now I know who to blame.
What do you work for, a Volvo dealership?
I work for a Mercedes-Benz dealership.
Oh, okay.
But when I worked for a Honda dealership, we had the same problem. And, of course, everybody says, well, my blank didn't have this problem. I always got 50,000 miles.
Yeah, and they're coming back saying, I used to get 50,000 miles out of my pads when I had my Geo, the Metro.
Right, right.
No, and now that I got my...
When I had my Studebaker in 1959, and now, after 18,000 miles, I need brakes in my E-Class.
Right.
Is that typically what you find, the 18 to 24,000?
Well, we're getting 7,000 to 8,000 miles on the low end. But this is San Francisco, which is a real tough city on brakes.
Right, it is. But when they had the Studebakers, they were getting 50,000 miles.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you guys are in deep doo-doo.
Well, are cars getting less mileage on brakes?
Yes.
Or are people driving differently? What's going on?
No, I think cars are getting a lot less mileage on brakes because they've changed the composition of the materials. And as you know, I mean, they don't use asbestos anymore.
Right.
And now they use brake pads are made out of a mixture of things like bronze, brass, copper, steel wool, and in some kind of amalgam.
And chunky peanut butter. Skippy chunky peanut butter.
Chunky peanut butter. And it's all bonded together with some bonding agent like Kevlar or something. But the bottom line is the stuff wears out fast. And faster than asbestos brakes wore out.
You mean to tell me that the owners of these fancy Mercedes are complaining about a lousy set of pads? Is that because you guys charge them $750 to replace the pads?
That's a separate complaint.
That's a separate complaint. Yeah. Well, I mean, you got the right idea. I mean, if they can afford $60,000 for the car.
So you say 7 or 8 on the low end. What's the average? What's the typical life expectancy for someone in your area?
Probably 12 to 15.
Gee,
I don't think that's bad.
Oh, that's bogus. Well, okay, it might not be bad for San Francisco.
No, but not for San Francisco.
It might not be bad for San Francisco.
When seven or eight sounds really low.
When you consider that all of these cars are automatic transmission cars, too.
Right.
You know, and none of them has the advantage of being able to, nobody downshifts to slow down with a Mercedes.
No, they got no time. They have movers and shakers, man.
So 15,000 miles, I guess, would probably be the equivalent of about 25,000 miles for us here in New England.
Probably,
which is about what we get. Seven or eight is because, and I suppose you'd have to accuse these people of being a little heavy-footed on the brake.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell them to suck it up.
Okay.
Yeah. And if they're getting under 10,000 miles on a set of pads, I think you got to tell them to shape up and start driving right.
Okay.
Because they gotta be driving down all those hills with 1 foot on the brake and 1 foot on the gas pedal. They're crazy.
Yeah, tell them that they're going to go easier on the brakes, and you might suggest to them that they use a lower gear when coming down some of the longer hills. It would save wear and tear on the brakes.
Yeah, and that way you could collect $8,000 or $9,000 rebuilding transmission.
Hey. I'll make sure I write my boss a memo about that.
See you, Charlie.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Okay, bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Sarah from Cranford, New Jersey.
Cranford?
Yes.
Cranford. New Jersey. I got it.
What's up, Sarah, baby?
I have a 1993 Mercury Villager.
Okay.
I went away for the weekend about a month ago, and my husband stayed home with our 8 and 4-year-old sons. And when they came to the airport to pick me up and I got in the car, it smelled funny. Mm. And I was happy to see them and we're talking, and I said, "What's that smell?" And they said, "We don't smell anything." And then we came home and I walked in the house and the house smelled funny. And I said, "What's that smell?" And they said, "We don't smell anything." And it took me about a day to find like a half-drunk milk sippy cup underneath the sofa. I was about to tear that. But the car smells like urine.
Oh.
And we live in New Jersey, and it's really humid and horrible, and it's awful. So I cleaned the car, I cleaned the booster seat, and my 4-year-old and I are spraying Febreze on all the upholstered furniture, and I took it to the car wash, and they sprayed some big jar of lemon stuff in there.
Yeah.
And the inside is now much better, but when you turn the car on and put on either the vent with the air or the AC, it's like urine air. It's horrible, and I need you to help
me. So you think they had like a peeing contest in the car? Go ahead. You first. No. You first. Ma's going to kill us. Sorry. Ma's away. She won't know.
Dad likes it. Dad won't care.
Dad can't smell anything.
I know. No one's admitting anything.
So what were you thinking when you went away? Where were you? Where did you go that was so important?
Yeah, what are you,
dared
nuts?
To leave them with your car.
I'm never leaving them with the car again.
No.
No.
I don't think they had anything to do with it.
Why?
Oh, I do.
Because I'm siding with them. That's it.
No, you have to help me.
No, because the fact that you say it comes out worse when you turn on the air conditioning suggests to me that the smell is not in the vehicle, but in the vents.
Exactly.
Really?
Exactly.
And if they didn't pee,
I mean, they would have had to have been hanging by their feet from a tree under which your car was parked and peeing into the vents. Do you think they could have done that?
Do you have a sunroof?
No.
Oh, they couldn't have done it. With the sunroof, I can imagine how they would do it. But I don't think they did do it. And I think they've been unjustly accused, and I think you should beg for forgiveness.
I think so, too. So if you accused your husband?
No.
So you smell the smell, but he, when you confront him and say, for example, "Do you smell that, hun?" He says, "I don't smell anything."
He says, "Nothing happened."
Nothing happened, because in his mind, nothing did happen.
That's right.
And what has happened, however, is that your evaporator drain for your air conditioner has gotten plugged up.
Oh.
And the evaporator drain is designed to drain out the water that your air conditioner removes from the car.
Mm-hmm.
Your evaporator drain is plugged up. And that water that's in there has begun to grow mold.
Oh.
And that's what you think smells like urine. It's mold. Of course, they may have peed in it, too.
They may have. But I don't think so.
And we'll never know.
Just a good measure.
But if you go to your shop, garage, whatever, and ask them to clean it out. They can probably do it easily.
What they will do is they will spray compressed air into the drain.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do that, it should clear the drain and the water should come out. And as such, a lot of the mold spores will disappear too. But then there are certain chemicals, and Febreze may not be a bad one to use, but I think there are probably better ones that you can get at an auto parts store.
Mm-hmm.
We've used a thing called Frigifresh. I don't know if they still make it. And you spray it in the vents, which are right in front of your windshield, mm-hmm. on the outside of the vehicle.
Okay.
And you run the air conditioner system, and what that does is it will suck in that air along with that stuff you sprayed in, and we should kill the mold spores. And the way it usually works is it's about a 3-to-1 trade-off. For every 3 mold spores you kill, you lose 1 brain cell.
You know,
yeah.
Okay, well,
but
thank
that's
you very
a good
much.
Trade-off.
It's not bad. You have your husband do it. He's probably not using them anyway.
Thank you very much.
Good luck, Sarah, and apologize to the kids.
Oh, really?
I think so.
I think you should take them out for ice cream.
Oh, okay, I will.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm sorry for all the things. Well, it would be good if your wife could apologize to you for all the things that she thought you did.
But most of them, she thought I did.
You really did.
All right. Look, it's time for us to take a break. And when we come back, we'll answer last week's puzzler. Do you happen to remember anything about it? No, not a clue, huh? Nothing? Nothing.
No.
I didn't think so. I'll give you a hint. It involves string and a Zippo lighter.
It sounds like it's going to hurt.
I hope so. We'll be back in a minute.
So don't touch that dial.
And baby, that Mitch car won't run, darling, I know that's no fun. Hell, how you going to come on over and visit me? Could be a water pump, a time machine, a leaky seal, rusty radiator, or a squeaky wheel, distributor cap or plugs that need to be cleaned. Because I'm your handyman. Handyman, I got the motivation to make it right. Zip brakes, have no fear, I'll fix it for a six-pack of beer. Maybe something little extra on the side.
And even though all the other land masses start to inch away from the North American plate whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Support for the Car Talk podcast and the following message come from J.B. Weld. When you have a big or small repair project at home or in your garage, choose JB Weld, the leader in epoxy adhesives. JB Weld products bond strongly to a variety of surfaces in even the toughest environments. Proudly made in the USA, it's the brand both pros and experienced DIYers have trusted for more than 50 years. Available at jbweld.com, Amazon, Walmart, and your local auto parts or home improvement retailer.
I answered truthfully except for telling them who it was. I did not name no names.
After Jim Reeb was killed in Alabama in 1965, no one was ever held to account.
Finally, the full truth comes out.
I never opened my mouth for nobody.
It's White Lies from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and of course, the answer to last week's puzzler, which my brother couldn't remember. Here's the further hint. This is the first in my series of string puzzlers.
Oh, I remember it now.
Oh, sure. Now you remember it. What a good it does us now.
The string, there's a series of string puzzlers?
Well, two constitutes a series. And
certainly
yeah.
It does.
Okay, here
it is. This one was marvelous.
You didn't like the other one?
Well, I don't remember the other one.
Oh.
I didn't even remember this one, but now I do. And this one is fantabulous. This is going in the next book of great puzzlers we have known.
We have a book.
Yeah.
Anyway, you have in your possession
it's going to be called Haircut and String Town.
You have in your possession two pieces of string. Let's say that each is a couple of feet long, but it doesn't really matter. And they can both be different lengths. It doesn't matter either. And they're burnable, like the fuses that they use to, you know, light dynamite. Now, you could light either end of either string, and it would burn. And in fact, if you lit one end of a string, it would burn in exactly an hour. You with me so far?
I've got it.
So you light a string with what? The Zippo lighter.
The Zippo lighter. So if you light one end of one of the strings,
and it's lying on the table or on the floor,
it would burn right along, and it would take 1 hour to be gone.
But here's the wrinkle. The strings do not burn at a constant rate. For example, the string might burn for 2 minutes and then go crazy and burn like mad and then slow down and da da da. You don't know what rate the string is burning at any specific time. All you know is that in an hour's time, the whole string is burned.
Yeah.
It's not linear.
Gotcha. Okay?
And not predictable.
Gotcha.
All right. You got it?
You got it.
So the question very simply is, with the Zippo lighter and these two strings, how would you measure 15 minutes of time?
Wow.
And I did mention, I think, that there were two answers to this. I'm only going to give you one answer this week.
Oh, you are?
Yes, because the other answer...
is next week's puzzler.
Is, well, not in the future.
Yeah.
If you light three ends at once with the Zippo lighter.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you take string A, light both of its ends.
Mm-hmm.
You take string two and light one end.
Yeah.
Well, what's going to happen? Because you lit both ends of the first string, in a half an hour's time, that string is going to burn up completely.
It's going to be
gonzo, right?
So, you know, a half an hour has gone by.
A half an hour has gone by. And similarly, the other string you lit is going to burn for half an hour's time, right?
Yeah.
At which point, as soon as the first string has burned up completely, you'll light the remaining end.
Of string two.
Of string two. And because the first part of that string you lit is continuing to burn, it's going to take 15 minutes before those two flame fronts meet, and you'll have measured exactly 15 minutes. Berman says, no, you'll measure 15 minutes from the time
from
that
the
you lit
the second string.
The second string.
Exactly. So the question could have been, how would you measure 45 minutes or 15 minutes? And it would be the same answer.
Exactly.
So we can use that for the puzzle of next week.
Yeah, that's the puzzle
how
of next week.
How would you measure 45 minutes? This is a brilliant. I mean, people are going to have to think about it. I can hear people now saying, that's not going to work.
Well, there are going to be people that will complain because they'll say, well, how do you know when you light both ends?
Yeah. Well, you think about it.
Right. Don't forget, this is all hypothetical. You couldn't really do this.
This is a gedunken string.
No, it's possible to do
it. Of course you could do it.
And it works. And if you don't like it, tough. Who's our winner this week?
Oh, winner. The winner this week is Calvin Cunin from Columbus,
Ohio. Did I mention you were wearing a watch when you lit these strings?
You got to be wearing a watch.
Yeah. Oh,
how would you know? How would you know when 15 minutes went by?
Just checking.
Oh, yeah. You got to be wearing a watch.
Oh, yeah,
a pocket watch would be all right.
Pocket watch would be
good. Oh, you could just have access to the clock on the wall.
Wall clock. You look at the IBM wall clock.
And that would work.
15 minutes is up. The strings are extinguished. I'm done.
You did mention that.
I'm sure.
I think you did, yeah. The winner is Calvin Cunin from Columbus, Ohio. And for having his correct answer chosen from among the thousands to... correct answers that we got this week, our pal Calvin is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, with which he can get a Car Talk t-shirt / oil rag or an oil rag / t-shirt.
Anyway, we will have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so don't go anywhere. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good. Where are you from?
I'm from Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes.
No kidding.
Yeah, really?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, you're not originally from Nashville,
no,
Tennessee.
No, I'm not originally from Nashville.
I'm going to tell you where you're from. Don't
actually,
tell me. I'm going to tell you where you're from, Wendy.
Oh, okay. All right. Will you tell me that right now? Or are you? Gonna...
I'm working on it right now.
Okay, so tell us your problem.
And by the time you finish with the problem, I've already got you in a certain section of the country. I'm just working on the state now.
All right. Well, I can buy that.
Yeah.
But now I do need to tell you something, that if I suddenly have to leave you, I'm really sorry, but I'm dressed in my scrubs and I might have to run upstairs and deliver a baby.
Really?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Nah, there's no rush. They take care of themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, all right, I'll tell them to just pant and blow. No panting and blowing on your end.
Oh, not us.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
We'll make it brief anyway.
Okay.
What's up?
Well, I have an 88 Mazda. It's a 626 LX.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone about 150,000 miles. And my big question, it's an overall question, is this puppy worth rehabilitating? Recently, my babysitter, male German, 22 years old, ran a red light and had a little fender bender.
Mm.
And it popped the hood and damaged the fender. And the car is still drivable, but you know, there are two latches, and the under the hood latch is broken. But the one that you reach under the hood, you know, when you're going to change your oil or something like that.
Yeah. Right. So the secondary latch works, but the primary latch doesn't.
Right. So that one works, okay? But there's a little bit of play in there, a couple of inches of play.
Yeah.
So that when I'm barreling down the road.
Don't do it.
You know, it's a question of can that whole thing come popping up by mistake? And in order to get that fixed, it would cost about $1,600.
Well, doesn't Detour have insurance, the guy that smashed it up on you?
Well, you know, it's my fault, and he's actually on my insurance policy because he works for me because he's my babysitter.
Yeah, but you have insurance, don't you?
Yeah, well, I have insurance, and they'll pay for that if it's worth it. But there's another part of this question.
Oh, I knew there would be.
Yeah, you thought there would be. Yeah. I when you turn the car on, there's a big old puff of smoke, and I've been adding about 2 quarts of oil every week and a half or so. I know that's not good.
Well, it's good if you're the one selling the oil.
Yeah, exactly. And somebody told me that this could mean that the heads need to be changed and that if I drain the oil out and there's water in the oil, that means they need to be changed. And I don't know even what heads are. I mean, the only heads I know are baby heads.
Yeah.
So
no, that's a completely phony bogus.
Was this a fellow physician that told you this?
No, this was somebody at the place that was going to charge me $400 or $500 to change the heads.
Okay.
Oh, this is an actual professional who gave you
this. Well, you only have one head anyway.
Bogus story.
You have a four-cylinder engine.
Okay.
Maybe they thought that two heads would be better than one. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But, no, I think you probably need an engine rebuild. You need the whole thing rebuilt.
Okay.
And
so, yeah.
In light of this new information, this new wrinkle here, I would suggest that you get rid of the car.
Well, that's the big question because, you know, I don't know if it's. I mean, I guess it's safe to drive. I don't know. The hood hasn't come up.
Well, it's not safe. I mean, let's get that issue out of the way right away.
All right.
Because, that hood latch can easily let go.
Uh-huh.
And if you're doing anything over like 30 miles an hour, that hood will come flying up and stand straight up.
Right, and then you have to slam on the brakes.
And then you'll see absolutely nothing. Trust me, it's happened to me twice.
Ooh,
And it's really exciting trying to wend your way across three lanes of traffic via the rearview mirror.
He tried to get them to make this a ride at Disney World, but they wouldn't bite.
And I tell you, both of the times it happened to me, it was extraordinarily exciting. So I would right away find myself a piece of wire or a bungee cord or a piece of clothesline.
Chain. Chain works very well.
Tie up that hood somehow so that that won't happen.
Okay.
And then I would just keep driving it until you find a new one. But I think you're right. I mean, the fact that it needs, it's got a lot of miles on it.
Yeah.
It's burning oil.
Yeah.
And now you've gotten this message from God.
Uh-huh.
Smashing up the front of it, sending a person all the way from Europe to do it.
I
mean, when you think about the confluence of forces which had to come together to make this happen,
cosmic.
It is. It's cosmic. It's time.
Okay. Cosmic is good. Okay.
Cosmic is good.
It's time to put this puppy out to pasture.
Okay. Wisconsin.
Wisconsin? No.
What Wisconsin?
That's where I thought she was from.
Oh, and I'm going to guess Chicago.
Chicago? No.
All right. How many guesses? Can we get about 30 or 40 more guesses?
How about 50?
originally Pennsylvania, but lately of Rhode Island.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So now you're in Nashville.
I came here because I wanted to be a midwife in this hospital.
Really?
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I hope you're having a wonderful time in Nashville.
Thank you very much.
Dump that piece of junk that you have for a car.
Okay.
It's time for a new one.
See ya. See you, Wendy. Bye-bye.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
Time to apologize to MIT for ruining their commencement.
No. Time to play Stump the Chump! Every once in a while, we invite one of our past callers back onto the show in order to what?
Kill time while I think up a new puzzle.
Right. And to see whether the advice that we gave that person was any good at all or even possibly
correct.
So
who's this week's contestant, Johnny?
This week's chump stumper is Bob from Greensboro, North Carolina. Now, you may remember, and I'm reading this from a piece of paper because I don't remember, Bob called us in December. Wow. Because the heat wasn't working on his 85 Chevy Cavalier.
He must have one frozen tuchus by now. And he was desperate because the temperature was threatening to fall below 60 any day.
Good, 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 good. Keep going.
Okay, here's what I've replaced so far. The thermostat.
Good.
Upper and lower radiator hoses.
Good start.
Nice.
The radiator.
Bad start.
The radiator?
Well, he needed that anyway.
Upper and lower heater hoses.
Oh, so close.
Heater core.
He's getting...
Oh, jeez, Bob.
Yeah, water pump.
Oh, my ace in the hole.
While I had the cover off of the heater core, I checked to make sure that the baffle was moving. Working fine.
Oh, Bob, you're...
Wow. Well, he didn't leave us much room to work with now, did he? He replaced everything.
Well, basically, yeah. So as a fallback position, we told Bob that during one of these numerous repairs, he likely trapped... This sounds like a boom. Yes. He likely trapped a considerable amount of air in his cooling system. So we instructed him to tip the car up on its front end and burp it.
Actually, we told him how to remove the heater hoses and top off the coolant and run it with the radiator cap off and all that stuff so that any remaining air in the system would be allowed to escape.
And we'll find out right now if that helped. Bob!
I'm here.
Hey, how you there? Bob, what's the average temperature been in Greensboro this week?
90.
So are you warm enough?
Quite.
You were right!
If the heat ever starts working, it's going to blister the paint.
See? You didn't tell us how we had to get you heat.
We just had to wait until June.
We just did our sun dance here.
I knew you were going to have some bogus solution.
So what? Tell us what happened, Bob. We're dying to hear.
Okay, put it up on the ramps.
Yeah.
And ran it that way.
Yeah,
didn't help.
Didn't help. Huh?
So while it was up, I did the. I pulled the hoses off.
Good.
Filled them with water.
Yeah, yeah.
Put them back. Nothing. Went a step farther. Took the hose back off. The one that goes to the intake manifold is higher.
Yeah, good.
I put a T-fitting in it.
Good.
I ran a hose up to where I could
pull
a vacuum on it.
Right. No.
By sucking on it.
Good. It was disgusting, but...
It was. Didn't work.
So nothing has worked.
Nothing has worked.
Oh,
well, this is sadder for you than it is for us. I mean, it's not skin off our noses.
Until December rolls around again.
Yeah, it might get down to 70 degrees down there.
Occasionally, yeah.
That's awful.
Jeez.
Gee, I wish I had some new ideas, but we covered everything in the last call.
Well, I will tell you a little story that I might not have told you when we spoke to you the last time. That we had a car, and I don't remember what it was, but it was one of these GM little junk boxes. And this guy also had no heat, but he had a blown head gasket, coincidentally. And when we fixed the head gasket, i.e. when we put a new head gasket on, we didn't even realize it, but we had inadvertently fixed his heat.
Did you forget to charge him for that?
When he called back to tell us it had been fixed.
And you said, oh, forgot to bill you.
Send us an extra $50. But he said, gee, you know, the heat hasn't worked in this thing for 2 years. And since you replaced the head gasket, it has now worked. Now, I had no ready explanation, and therefore I couldn't present him with a bill. I just wanted to tell you that in the event that you're grasping for straws or looking for a long project for the summer.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet it's the head gasket. Bob, we're going to be talking to you again soon after you do the head gasket.
Oh, Lord.
So you're going to have to. If you want to be on Stump the Chumps again?
Chump the Stumps.
This is getting very questionable.
If you want to be on Stump the Chumps again, you're going to have to do the damn head gasket.
All right, here's the deal. Make him an offer.
All right, we'll do it.
No, if he does the head gasket and it's not the head gasket, you'll pay him for the head gasket job.
There you go. Doug Berman will pay you.
Doug Berman will pay you.
I can do a head gasket myself in a weekend and charge you, what, $500? Is that the going rate?
Yeah, whatever.
$220.
Yeah. Can we agree on
$200?
This is dangerous.
No, we could be
setting a dangerous precedent.
What do we care? Berman's paying.
Oh, that's right. $400. We'll go as high as $400. Not a penny over six.
We'll go over four.
Good Lord, you just made my life complicated.
I know. Get those wrenches out, baby.
Oh.
See you later.
Take care.
Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Chump the Stumps, whatever.
Chump the Stumps. Okay, if you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestions from cartalk.com.
All right, it's time to take another short break.
Thank God. I thought you'd never give me a rest.
You see what I have to deal with, folks? I can't believe it. We'll be back in a minute.
A minute? All I get is a minute?
Oh, shut up, you crybaby.
Now, I've been parked in the red, and I never feed my parking meter. And I've been revving up my engine, and I've been drinking from an open meter. And I've been driving 30 miles per hour, where 25 is posted. And I've been breaking all the laws, trying to get you. Breaking all the laws, trying to get you. Breaking all the laws, trying to get you. Yeah, yeah. You notice me.
And even though more people believe in life on Mars than believe us when we say this, this is NPR.
Support for the Car Talk podcast and the following message come from Valvoline Motor Oil. Did you know higher mileage engines need different motor oil? Well, Valvoline does because they test oil every day in their state-of-the-art engine lab in Ashland, Kentucky. Valvoline's high-mileage motor oils with MaxLife technology are specifically formulated for high-mileage engines and have thick anti-wear film to help protect metal surfaces and extend engine life. Visit valvoline.com/cartalk to find out what product is right for your engine.
In the Trump era, the news moves faster than ever, and the NPR Politics Podcast is here to keep you informed. Every time there's a major political story, we get our best correspondents together to sort through the noise. The NPR Politics Podcast, what you need to know right when it happens.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler. Here it is. This guy has a new house built. You're paying attention. You need to pay careful attention because there are all kinds of...
When you speak, I always pay attention because I know that you are going to one of these days come up with some words of pearls of wisdom.
But it hasn't happened
yet.
So pay attention. Anyway, and as luck would have it, his entire backyard is just dirt. And he's planning on having a big 4th of July celebration. So he goes to the local nursery, and he says to the guy, look, I've got to buy some grass seed. He said, because it's almost June 1st, and I've got to have this party in 4th of July weekend. I want a yard full of grass.
Yeah. Sod, they tell him.
He says, sod's too expensive. Can't afford that. Too much money. He says, well, how much is seed? And they discuss various options. And then finally, the fellow at the nursery says, hey, we have this new product. He said, it just came in a few months ago. He said, you may be interested in it. It's a plug of grass. And he said, well, what's that? It looks about the size of your fist. Could be a part of your dart, even. And he says, you plant this in your lawn in a central location, and every day it doubles in size. So he asked the owner of the house to draw a little picture of his backyard with the dimensions. Because he says, you may need a lot of these. And the guy says, well, let's figure it out. And he says, well, he said, I've done all the math. You need one. He said, you mean if I plant this thing like June 1st, by June 30th, I'll have a lawn? And the guy says, well, according to my calculations, no problem. He said, and then what you have to do is once the lawn is in place, you have to spray it with this arrestor spray so it doesn't continue to...
And grow up the side of your house.
Right. doesn't subsume your car.
Over the driveway. Yeah. Sure.
And the guy says, you sure you did the math correctly? The guy says, I'm telling you, he said, plant one of these, and in 30 days, you'll have a full lawn in your backyard.
Wow.
And he says, great. He said, but just to be on the safe side, I want two.
Good thinking.
Wasn't that good thinking?
Good. Well, I mean, why not?
So the question is, if in fact one would give him a lawn in 30 days, if he plants it on June 1st, by June 30th, he'd have his entire lawn. When he buys two... What day must he apply? Within, let's say, with plus or minus 2 days, what day must he apply the arrestor spray to stop it from subsuming his car, his garage, and his kids?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Why is it plus or minus 1 or 2 days?
Just to obfuscate even further.
All right, that's good.
If you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill. or a piece of ripe fruit or fish.
Fish is good. It's fish season.
Yes.
A lot of people go out fishing at this time of year, and they
we accept freshwater fish only.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah, because the stink is this bad. And send that correspondence to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-CAR-TALK, which is 888-CAR-TALK. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Allison. I live in Malone, New York.
Allison?
Allison.
Yes.
With one L or two?
One L.
Where are you from?
Malone, New York. It's about an hour away from Montreal.
Malone?
Mm-hmm. It's like the cow tipping capital of the world.
Oh, wow. That's great. Cow tipping, huh?
Uh-huh.
Cow, what's cow tipping?
Tipping cows over as they sleep.
Yeah, you sneak up on a cow and you knock them down.
Isn't that illegal in like 47 states?
Yeah, just about.
You've never done it, have you, Allison?
No, of course not.
Seems like kind of a bizarre and inhumane way to have fun, but...
Well, they're not humanes anyway. They're cows. But it is a cruel thing to do. It's like ripping the wings off flies, but I suppose it's not quite that bad.
Anyway, Allison, what's on your mind?
I have a 1983 red Toyota Tercel, and it's got 172,000 miles on it.
Good.
Well, every time we stop for like a red light, the idle makes a really weird noise. It's like, rawr, rawr, rawr.
Oh, it surges.
Yeah.
Jennifer's car does the same thing, too. She asked me to fix it three times, and I haven't been able to.
Yeah, call her. She might have brought it somewhere else. Jennifer!
That's what it does when you stop. It just it surges up and down.
Yeah, unless the air conditioning is on. And if the air conditioning is on, then it won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if we spray carburetor cleaner in there, it won't do it for about a day, and then I'll start up again.
Spray carburetor cleaner in where?
In the carburetor thing. I'm not sure my dad does it.
Where are you going to spray carburetor cleaner? On the brakes? No, in the carburetor.
Well, I don't know. I'm just asking. I mean, you never know. Carburetor cleaner has many uses.
Certainly does.
Yes.
Well, it's curious that it happens when the air conditioner is not on and doesn't happen when the air conditioner is on. Because it's supposed to work the other way.
Well, no, what's happening is the
because it's not surging. It's not surging.
Well,
it's dying.
The idle up device, which is what's making the thing race, is probably malfunctioning because it's getting it works on vacuum on this car, and it's getting a bad vacuum signal from something, and it's causing it to do this.
I don't agree.
Oh, I know, because I fixed 100 of them, except for Jennifer's, I don't know what's wrong with hers, but usually this is what it is, and we fix these on Tercels all the time.
I would agree with this answer had she not thrown in the little tidbit of the carburetor cleaner, which makes me suspicious.
No, it doesn't make me suspicious. Am I correct in saying that when it is doing this and you spray the carburetor cleaner in there, that's when it fixes it, right at that moment?
No, a couple of days.
Well, it'll start to stall for a while. When you drive, you have to drive it around for a little while, and then it'll stop for about a day.
A day, yeah. See, which
unrelated.
No, I mean, it makes me suspect the throttle plate just a little bit.
No, you're going
to... A stuck... throttle plate.
You could have a stuck throttle,
let's consider this here now.
You could have a stuck secondary throttle, and I will agree that that's a possibility, except from my experience with these cars, and God knows we've worked on enough 83 Tercels, that I think you will find that I'm correct. On the slim chance that this is my brother's one day a year to be correct about something.
What day is this?
You may want to have somebody investigate whether or not the secondary throttle in the carburetor is sticking. Now, I'd hate to ask this question because it would corroborate my brother's theory.
Be careful.
Is it more likely to happen after you've been driving the car at high speed and then pull off into city traffic?
It's usually just all the time. But, yeah, if I'm driving, like, 55 miles for a while, it'll definitely do it.
See, that's what you need me for, that one time in 1,000 when I make sure that you stay honest.
Well, I'm, yeah. No, I'm giving the devil his due. I mean,
of course I knew about the idol up little thing there, but so what? I mean, you have to use all pieces of information. You said you like to tie things up in nice little bundles so all the pieces fit together, and then you...
I want to tie this quarter on your throat.
And then you very quietly try to avoid the piece of information that Allison tells
us. I did because Allison sounded like a youngster, and I figured I could pull a fast one on her and get rid of her and go to the next caller.
Well, it won't happen around here, buddy.
Sorry, Allison.
That's okay.
But Tommy may be right. God, you don't know how that hurts. But anyway, have someone check. Maybe Dad can do it for you. Check to see if... And the way you check it is when the thing is doing that, you're going to stick a long, skinny screwdriver into the secondary throttle. That's the one where the choke isn't.
Okay.
There are two barrels in the carburetor. One has the choke covering it, and it's the other barrel. And if you can push on that throttle and stop it from doing it, then my brother's right. Then you have to really clean that thing with carburetor cleaner vigorously.
Okay.
And hopefully that'll fix it.
Your father will love to do this because this is the kind of thing that fathers love to do.
If he can't figure out how to do it, have him call us and we'll fax him the instructions.
Okay.
See you, Allison.
All right, bye.
Thanks, bye-bye.
I mean, that's sort of like the equivalent of putting in a shim somewhere. You know, you spray it and you jiggle it. Oh, that's what being a father is all about.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Dr. Paul from Dallas, Texas calling.
Hi, Dr. Paul.
Yes.
Is that first name or last name?
No, that's my first name.
All right. He wouldn't give his last name.
No, your friends might, colleagues might be listening.
And where are you from, Doc?
I'm originally from the Northeast, but right now I'm living in Dallas, Texas, and I feel like I've been living in a country western song for the past year.
Really?
About a year ago, I'm in a horrible car accident. While I'm in the hospital, they find that I have cancer. My wife leaves me.
Man.
I've been recovering for the past year since then.
Did your dog die?
And my dog died. And now you're
on Car Talk. It just doesn't stop.
Now I'm on Car Talk. Well, what I find out now, okay, I'm just out of the hospital, and I'm driving the insurance rental car because I don't have my own car now.
Of course not. It got totaled in the accident.
It got totaled in the accident, and so I find that now I'm in a market for a car. And my friends have been pointing out to me that, you know, this is an important decision because you've got a new lease on life. Mm-hmm. You've got a chance for a new wife, you know, and so you got to pick the right car. And so
sure.
Okay, so I'm asking, you know, so that I attract the right woman. And so that's why I'm asking you guys.
Everyone's definition of the right woman is different, and you tell us what you're looking for.
In a woman.
In a woman, and then we'll first of all correct that, and then we'll go ahead and recommend a car.
You know, yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm thinking someone who's down to earth, loyal, and cute.
Down to earth?
You want a Labrador Retriever?
with blonde hair, and I'm there, you know?
loyal and cute, down to earth. Yeah.
You know, I like to do some sports things, but, you know, I also, you know, I like to go skiing and camping, but
you want an outdoorsy type. Not necessarily, but you'd like. In other words, you don't want.
Who also wouldn't mind going to the museum and the arts? You know, those kind of.
Oh, come on, would you?
So you're not looking for a burned out country western teased hair?
No.
No. So you want outdoorsy maybe, but yet intellectual.
Yeah.
You want someone who's not going to say, I don't want to go to the museum.
Right. Someone who's willing to go with the flow.
Go with the flow. Ah.
And you don't want this gal to fall in love with you because you're driving a $55,000 Toyota Land Cruiser necessarily.
No, no.
What do you drive? What did you drive that you racked up?
I had a Buick LeSabre.
Oh, you kidding me?
That was big.
Oh no, that's the wrong car.
Well, but that was a married guy's car.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Your wife probably insisted on that car. Yeah, you weren't gonna pick up any babes with a Buick LeSabre.
Well, you are, but you wouldn't call them babes.
Right, and they got blue hair. They may have been babes at one point. So what age group are you looking at?
Well.
18 to what?
Yeah, you know, well, that sounds like a good place to start.
But what's the upper limit? See, I don't have an upper limit. That tells you something.
Right.
So you're going 18 to what, like 40s?
40s, yeah.
40s.
18.
And you must be 60 then.
I'm in my 40s.
I see you in a Jeep Grand Cherokee. Really?
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
It says that you're self-sufficient, independent, and you're relatively well off without being show-offy, you know, and egocentric.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. So I think the Jeep Grand Cherokee does it for me.
Hmm.
Because it'll attract, you know, a woman who's not afraid to jump up into the seat and doesn't necessarily want her door held open for her. You're gonna get away from the princesses.
Yeah, you don't want a princess, is that right?
Right. Yeah.
Tried that. Been there. Done that.
Yeah.
I'm getting too old for that.
Yeah, I would. You know what to do? You need to rent a few vehicles and see how it works out. I would get a weekly rental on a Jeep Grand Cherokee and just
see. You can do that.
Yeah, and try a few dates
and see what happens.
Yeah. Now, if you're looking for the 18 to 22 year old, you can't beat a Volkswagen Beetle.
Now I've asked a couple waitresses and they keep on saying the Beetle because they think it's a cute car.
Oh, see, you did the. That's research, man. You asked the target market what they like.
When I test drove that vehicle, if I didn't have the doors locked, God knows how many young babes would have jumped in the front seat.
Yeah. I didn't have the doors locked.
No, I knew that.
No one jumped in.
No one jumped in.
They came close until they saw who was in there, and then they ran the other way.
But you might want to try the Volkswagen, too.
And never forget the power of the Mazda Miata.
Ah.
Oh, see? And this, the Mazda Miata has the added benefit that even if you don't scoop any babes, you're driving around in a Mazda Miata.
I almost forgot. More important.
The dog.
More important than the vehicle is a puppy.
A puppy?
You gotta have.
Man.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. I mean, you could be driving around in a Rambler, and if you got a puppy in the front seat, you're in Fat City.
Yeah, but now, if you got a Miata, you only got, you know, where do you put the girl? You got the puppy and then...
The dog is going to have to run alongside.
Good luck, and we'll be calling from time to time to see how you're making out, so to speak.
Thanks.
Good luck, Doc.
Good luck.
Take care, guys.
I hope you feel better.
Well, it happened again. You vaporized yet another hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his grand slam at the Greater Greensboro Garlic Gherkin and Goat Cheese Gavotte, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjan Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of allergy research is Teresa Pollinating. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Audovindo. Our Elvis impersonator from the Cairo office is Amal Shukup. Our accounts payable administrator is Imelda Checks. Our director of summer visits to the in-laws is Don Juan Go. Our Russian gas station attendant is Philip Entopitov. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known at the mysteriously empty ice cream shops in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1925, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and find Car Talk gifts guaranteed to embarrass any new graduate all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though companies that make sound-deadening acoustic tiles see their stock prices shoot up whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.